translation, those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings, and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities. For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power, and progeny. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There is no need to worship demigods of whatever category if one is serious about going back to Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.20 and 7.23, it is clearly said that those who are mad after material enjoyment approach the different demigods for temporary benefits, which are meant for men with a poor fund of knowledge. We should never desire to increase the depth of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment, material enjoyment should be accepted only up to the point of the bare necessities of life, and not more or less than that. To accept more material enjoyment means to bind oneself more and more to the miseries of material existence. More wealth, more women, and false aristocracy are some of the demands of the materially disposed man, because he has no information of the benefit derived from Vishnu worship. By Vishnu worship, one can derive benefit in this life as well as in life after death. Forgetting these principles, foolish people who are after more wealth, more wives, more children, worship various demigods. The aim of life is to end the miseries of life and not to increase them. For material enjoyment, there is no need to approach the demigods. The demigods are but servants of the Lord. As such, they are duty-bound to supply necessities of life in the form of water, light, air, etc. One should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence, and that should be the motto of life. One should be careful to execute occupational service with faith in God in the proper way, and that will lead one gradually on the progressive march back to Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna, when he was personally present at Brajadham, stopped the worship of the demigod Indra and advised the residents of Braj to worship by their business and to have faith in God. Worshipping the multi-demigods for material gain is practically a perversity of religion. This sort of religious activity has been condemned in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam as Kaitava Dham. There is only one religion in the world to be followed by one and all, and that is the Bhagavat Dharma, or the religion which teaches one to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. Amagyana Tamrindasya Gyananjana Shilakya Chakshu Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born blinded by the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I therefore offer my humble obeisances unto him. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Upstaya Bhutale Srimate Shivaram Swaminita Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Upstaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminita Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashkacha Deshtarne. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langai Tegrim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadaya Prasbandvanto Chitro Shando Tamonado Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chava Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Nashta prasho badrasho nityam bhagavata sevya bhagavatir tamashloke bhakti bhavati nashtaki. Srinvatasharya nityam grinatas chashva chastikam kale na natidirgina bhagavan vishate khidi. Persons who recite the Srimad Bhagavatam and who are always taking the matter very seriously will have the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested within their heart within a very short time. So the verse once again. Rajasthama prakritaya samashila bhajantivai pitribhuta prachesha din shriyashvaya prachepsava. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings, and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities. For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power, and progeny. Now, as soon as I read this verse, I saw some... first of all, I'd like to... ask for the mercy and compassion of all the assembled Vaishnavas that I may be able to express myself clearly and coherently. So, first of all, this verse, when it says women, wealth, power, and progeny, it reminded me of a verse of Queen Kunti's where she says, Janmaishvarya Shrutashribir Edamada Yadamaman Naivarat Yabidatum Tvaitvam Akinshana Gocharam. And she's saying that if someone's on the path of material progress and trying to improve themselves with Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shribir. Janma means an aristocratic birth. And Aishwarya, same as it's mentioned here, is just opulence. Shruta means to be scholarly and educated. And Shribir means beautiful. So it's almost parallel with this. Women, wealth, power, and progeny. And Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir. So Queen Kunti is saying that if someone is overly concerned with these things, then they can't chant Krishna's name with love, with emotion. They won't be able to because they're too distracted. And it's stated here in the purport about we should never desire to increase the depth of material enjoyment. Why not? Because it binds oneself more and more to the miseries of material existence. It binds one more and more in material existence to the modes of material nature. One becomes bound. And that is a state which is very displeasing to the soul. Because in an earlier verse of this Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains how freedom is so dear to the soul. And that is what basically the pure identity of the soul is. It's all to do with freedom. And Prabhupada, in a very poetic fashion, he writes in one purport that the soul desires to see the free light and to break out of the covered walls of this material universe. So this increasing material enjoyment and material facility and material opulence is discouraged here. And it says that those who are trying to do this are in the modes of passion and ignorance. The people who worship the demigods, the forefathers and other living entities, they're the people who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. The people who are in the mode of goodness don't do that. The people who are in the mode of goodness, they take their cue from the scripture. They follow the scripture. And they are very dutiful. They're always doing their duty. So it's really only these people in the modes of passion and ignorance that are worshipping demigods. It says, that they're trying to get immediate fulfillment. It's not in this one. I read it somewhere else about how it's maybe in one of these references, because Prabhupada references Bhagavad Gita 7:20 and 7:23, which are dealing with the same subject. Basically, wanting immediate fulfillment and wanting more than one's necessities. As it says here, material enjoyment should be accepted only up to the point of the bare necessities of life, not more nor less than that. So, in the Ishapanishad, there is that verse, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam, Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat, Tiena Chaktiena Bunjita, Magrida Kasya Svidhanam. That everything animate and inanimate is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. And therefore, one should only accept that quota which has been allocated to them. And one should not accept more than that, knowing well to whom it belongs. So we all have our quotas. We're all unique individuals. We all have our unique quota. And that's kind of also, you know, we understand Krishna created the Varnashram system, Chaturvarnyam Ayashishtam, Gunakama Vibhagashaha. So, you know, there's a sort of a false principle of egalitarianism that everyone should have the same. That sort of communism isn't what we're talking about here. That's a very simplistic understanding. Because the Brahmanas don't need so much material facility. You know, the Vaishyas, they have their nature. And it's natural for them to want to have facilities and opulence and money and to make money. In the Bhagavatam, it says, Ashtikyam danan ishtacha abdambo brahmasevanam atushtir atapachayer vaishakama svabhavajam. So this, I'm always amused by this, atushtir atapachayer, that an intrinsic quality of a vaisha is that it says atushtir, which means to be never satisfied. Tushti means to be satisfied, and atushtir means they're never satisfied by artha, by the accumulation of wealth. So it says in the translation, they're constantly desiring to procure more and more money. So that's the nature of a vaisha. So this thing of egalitarianism, it can't be understood in a simplistic way. One class that I heard at Hoksaja, from who's up in Karuna Bhavan, he gave a class and he said his father is always telling him that if he was the prime minister, he would get all the wealth of Great Britain and divide it equally amongst everyone. And he said his father even worked it out. He sort of got his calculator out and got the population and how much the British gross income is or something. And he figured out that everyone would end up with £3 million. So if he was the prime minister, he would just allocate everyone £3 million equally. No one gets more, no one gets less. And then he said that's how the country would run at its best. You know, that would be the most efficient way to run this country. But Adhoksa just said that very soon, because this Varnashram system has been created by Krishna, and there are different qualities according to the different varnas, Adhoksaja maintained that very soon that distribution of wealth would start to fall into the same pattern. So, because we all have our natures, and you can't do anything about that. You know, we have that's been acquired over the course of time. And they say that, you know, a leopard can't change its spots overnight. So, you know, if we're going to transition from the nature that we have now, it takes time. You know, the longer it takes to become conditioned, the longer it takes to actually become free from the conditioning. So, but the point is to not be bound by material facility. And the only way not to become bound by the material facilities is to engage it in Krishna's service. To always engage it in Krishna's service. To not consider oneself to be the proprietor. Recently I heard a class of Amala Bhakta Maharaj, who's got that wonderful voice and who's recited all the narrations of the scriptures and put them on tape. And he was saying that Amala Bhakta Swami was saying that whenever Prabhupada was given something, he would accept it because he's a gracious person. And somebody's offering him something, he would accept the love that the person's offering it with, as well as the item. And he would use that item, but then very soon he would give it away. Or else he would... He would just give it away or just engage it in some way, not directly personally engaging it all the time. So if he was given a watch, he would wear it for some time and accept the gift. And then quite soon later, he would give the watch away, no matter how opulent the watch was. And if he was given a sweater, he would wear it for some time, then he would give it away. So he was saying that this is really the... This is what's being referred to in that verse, Utishta Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodhita Kshurasya Dara Nishitatu Rachaya Durgam Patas Tat Kavayo Vedanti, which is essentially saying that the path of spiritual life is like a razor's edge. And as soon as we become attached, we start to become victims of that razor's edge. To stay on the razor's edge, you have to stay detached from the material energy. And he said Prabhupada was perfectly able to do that. And then he made a very interesting point that how sometimes devotees misinterpret the razor's edge. And so he said that every now and then you find a devotee who is trying to be humble, and they're trying so hard to be humble that they end up becoming arrogant, that their humility ends up manifesting itself as arrogance. So he said that, for instance, he said that he's directly experienced it, because on occasions he's come up to different devotees and offered them gifts. And they've said, "No, no, no, I'm too fallen. I'm not worthy. I cannot accept this." And he would say, "No, go ahead, please. You know, I'd just like you to, you know, have this as a sort of a reciprocation and as an exchange." "No, no, no, I cannot." And they would refuse it. They would refuse to accept the gift. And so he said that by refusing that, they're placing themselves in a very sort of muddled way, they're placing themselves in a superior position. So it's a little bit like I also had this experience one time. It reminded me of this one time. A junior devotee was, we were both converging on the door at the same time, and I said, "Oh, you go first." And they go, "No, no, 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 no. You know, you're senior, you go first." I said, "No, you go ahead. You was there a fraction of a second before me. You go first." "No, no, 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 no." And they were so stubborn and so obstinate that, you know, I ended up going through. But then the whole loving exchange was lost. The whole etiquette was broken and the whole exchange was lost. And that's what Amala Bhakta Maharaj was saying. That what's more important than the logistics is the loving exchange, that The logistics is just a vehicle for the loving exchange. Similarly, all material things, they're meant to be used as vehicles for loving exchanges, because that's what is what's valuable. The material thing isn't valuable. And to really understand humility properly, we have to get away from this stereotype that humility is just a sort of it's a state of being very sort of like low self-esteem and being fawning and deferring always just automatically, almost you know, by default. You just always defer because you're so fallen and you're so unworthy, and so you give deference to everyone else. That's not what it means. Humility is actually a very dynamic principle, and when it's enacted correctly, it brings one to one's full potential. Because humility is the ideal state of mind for someone who is a servant or a follower or a disciple. It's an ideal state of mind. There are followers and there are leaders. And everyone is both, at all times, a follower and a leader. It's not that someone's just... That's sometimes the problem of someone who identifies themselves too much as just a follower, because no one is just a follower. Everyone has got, you know, different dimensions of relationship, and there's certain occasions you naturally fall into the role of a leader, and in other relationships you naturally fall into the role of a follower. And Amala Bhakta was saying how, as a leader, you know, if you're accepting someone's service and you're accepting someone's praise or whatever, and then you keep it for yourself, you become attached, then that's very dangerous, very, very dangerous for the leader. And as a servant, if you're actually being given some direction, and then your ego, whether it's like, you know, this principle that I'm saying of an inverted humility, whatever, if that gets in the way, that's dangerous for the follower. He was saying that the reason why the gurus in ISKCON fell down in the past, which we don't see so much anymore, because lessons have been learned, but in the past there was like especially certain eras, there was a lot of gurus and GBCs falling down. And he was saying that it was because they were accepting everything on their own behalf and not on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. They weren't immediately, like, Prabhupada would get the watch and he would give it away. So when somebody said, oh, you know, giving them all this worship, they weren't immediately giving it away. They were keeping it and enjoying it and reveling in it to some degree. So that was the danger for them. And Amala Bhakta said that he was discussing this with one former sannyasi who had fallen down some 25 years ago. And at the end of explaining this point, this former sannyasi said to Amala Bhakta, you know, why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago? And Amala Bhakta said to him, because if I told you 25 years ago, you would not have listened. You wouldn't have heard it. But so hindsight is sometimes better than foresight. But in terms of the follower, it's wrong to usurp the leader. It's wrong to usurp the authority. That's wrong to do. But it's also wrong to lag too far behind the leader. Because then what happens is that the leader's freedom to decide and to move and to act and to make decisions is hampered because everything's got to move together. So the ideal follower is somebody who is as close as possible to, it's the penultimate moment before usurping the leader. You get as close as possible without usurping, in other words. So that you're almost one with the leader, but you're not. You're still clearly accepting your junior position. So, for instance, to give an example, a recent example, when I was asked to lead Mongolati, then I wanted a second cartel player. And the second cartel player started playing just a little bit louder than what I was playing. And so I could no longer control the rhythm of the Mongolati. And I was being compromised in my freedom. So I just mentioned that to the devotee, and because he's a very good devotee, he didn't do it deliberately. There was nothing willful there. But then immediately he adjusted, and then everything went beautifully. And he sort of just tucked in underneath what I was playing, and it was just perfect. Now, if he had been playing too soft and lagged too far behind, then it's like, what's the value of it? But if he goes a little past what I'm trying to do, then there's a counterproductive issue going on then. So that's the importance of being, that's the importance of performing our prescribed duty correctly in terms of when we're the leader and in terms of when we're the follower. And then everything goes on nicely. In this verse here, it's talking about when people in the lower modes, they worship. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shigorni Tai ki jai, Skangravinda ki jai. I'll just make this one last point and then open up for questions. Again, when people worship demigods, they're worshiping because they have a specific purpose and a specific goal that they want to achieve, and Prabhupada would often say that it's, in different purports he would say, it's like when somebody tries to bribe the minister of the government. There's a government official, and rather than go through the correct channels, he thinks, I've got a shortcut here. This person, he's specifically, dealing with what I want. I'll give him a little extra money, and then I don't have to go through the other channels. Not realizing that minister is not independent. He's a minister of the government. Similarly, the demigods are not independent. They're ministers of Krishna's overall administration. They can't give anything unless Krishna sanctions it. And Prabhupada also mentioned in one purport that I read that the living entity who is seeking some benediction from the demigod, they can't even do that without Krishna's sanction as the super soul within the heart. Now, when the living entity is seeking this benediction from the demigod, Krishna says is that there's a verse that says, Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shradayanvitaha tepi mameva kuntiya yajante avidipurvakam. He's saying that when they're doing this, they're approaching the demigods for benedictions. Then they're worshipping these demigods for some benediction. When they're doing that, they're actually worshipping me, but they're doing it in a wrong way. Avidipurvaka means it's wrong. the way they're going about this is wrong. And so often what happens is the benediction that they get from the demigod, it turns out to be more a curse than a benediction. But when you approach Krishna, a benediction is a benediction. It's a benediction all the way. But as it's saying here, you get a benediction from the demigods for wealth, women, power, and progeny, and it just binds you. In the longer term, it ends up being more a curse than a benediction. So, these are some points to consider in the verse, and would anyone like to comment or ask a question?